word tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. And you know what? If you want to bring God into your world in a more powerful way, because he's omnipresent, he's there. In one way, you can't make him more there, but you can make him more part of what's going on in your world. Yeah. Praise is so powerful. You see, our human nature wants to praise when we're excited. You know, how often has someone come and shared something with you and it's like, woo, praise God. But how could we get to a point when somebody comes and says, you know, I've had to eat a bad sandwich this week. Or there's stuff going on in my world. And we can, like, not just say praise God as a cliche, but we can say praise God. Because you know what? We are believing that God is in this and he inhabits the praise of his people. And something is going to shift as we praise. Trouble is, we want to just praise in response to our circumstance. Paul and Silas, who were in the middle of a pretty bad situation, beaten, stripped naked, thrown in a dungeon with water dripping over them and every other horrible thing you could think of. And breakthrough came in their world when they praised. What happened? God's power was there, but something shifted in them. And I think it just sort of, it's like it blew up in them so much it couldn't be contained in that prison. And I believe we're going to see some breakthrough over coming weeks. I believe we're going to see some breakthrough here tonight. Who's ready for breakthrough? Come on. Let's pray. Let's have a seat. And we'll get into the word. And then I want to have time for some ministry here tonight. Lord, we thank you that you are very much alive. You are here. We thank you that on this Mother's Day, that your love, your nurturing, your relentless chasing us down that we so often see in our mothers and carers and the amazing women in our world is something that you want us to grab hold of. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Jemima, have we got enough foliage here tonight? Have we got any perfectionists here? Who's a perfectionist? You know, I can see the hands sort of going. Have we got any frustrated perfectionists? I probably put myself in the frustrated perfectionist category. Those that know me have never described me as a perfectionist. But often I know how I would like to have things. And I'm the person that after a while, you know, when my car starts to get scratches and things on it, I don't want to wash it. Because every time you wash it, you find another scratch or another imperfection on that once perfect car. I've bought only one brand new car in my life. I bought my wife, Alex, a brand new VW Golf a number of years ago. And I remember the first time she almost had it out, she had a sister in the car. And what's a sister do? Opens the door onto a pole. Bang! You know, this brand new car, and it's got this dent in the door. And then not long after that, we went to a...
Alex, can you hear me?
We went to this... She's down there. We went up into the waterworks, and they have got the speed bumps from hell in there. And Alex came in there and wasn't used to driving a car with less ground clearance than the previous car. And in she comes, roars in, and bang, straight over the speed hump, takes the sump out of the car, oil running everywhere. The car was only 2 weeks old. And you get to a stage where you don't want to wash the thing because you don't want to find another imperfection. And I think sometimes in life we get a bit like that, where David, the great psalmist, would actually go to God and he would say, "Lord, search my heart, show me what's in me." And we're often scared to go to God like that because, you know, we're these frustrated perfectionists where we want perfection. And we sort of feel this thing and we're almost scared to come before God and say, "Hey, shine the light on me, show me what I'm like." Because we're so scared that we're going to find another dent or another hole or another scratch or another blemish or something that's not right in our life. And before I'm finished tonight, I want to get to the fact that the God that I serve wants you to allow him to have the light shone on your life, not so that he can expose you, but more that he can accept you and he can love you and he can work on you and he can take you on a journey. But so often we never experience the depth and the magnitude and the grace and the unconditional love of God because we are trying to function in this world that loves perfection but doesn't quite know how to get it. So it's almost like we shun God from us and we never allow him to shine the light so that we can actually find out just how much we need him. Marketing companies spend a lot of time and money developing packaging, don't they? Because good packaging sells. We're a little bit like magpies. We're attracted to bright, shiny stuff. And sometimes the packaging can be even more exciting and durable than what it contains. Who's got shoeboxes at home that are beautiful things and the shoes have long since worn out? If you've been a long-term iPhone user, I would think that you could go around our cupboards at home and you could find more iPhone boxes than you could find iPhones. I've got a package here. I've got no idea what's in it. Belongs to Leonie. It's been given to Leonie. Any advances on a CD? I don't think it's a box of chocolates. Is it breakable? I don't know. But who knows? Looks good. Someone's gone to a bit of trouble and wrapped it. I believe it was you, Anna. You're looking very nervous. Am I making you nervous, Anna? I'm enjoying this. Oh, sorry. Who knows? I believe that what's in this may be less durable than the packaging. You know, this world that we live in is often much more concerned about the packaging than actually what's inside it. I mean, we get so concerned with perfection that, you know, you see these sales ads now, don't you? And people have got teeth so white. I mean, does anybody ever have teeth that, you know, you see a billboard for a real estate salesman and the teeth are like so white. And it's like we're, cosmetic surgery, those whole things, you see the end result of where it goes weird with Michael Jackson. You know, there's just... This obsession with perfection, where we're so concerned about how things look rather than actually what's inside it. A bit like the Apple experience, the box is too beautiful to discard. And as I've said, they mostly outlast the phone that they carried. Have we got any connoisseurs of fine wine here tonight? Anybody have a bottle of Grange Hermitage in their cellar? If you have, I'm happy to come around and... Interesting thing, Grange Hermitage. It's an Australian Shiraz from the Barossa Valley. It's bottles of Grange Hermitage have sold for up to $150,000. And the thing is, if you get a bottle of Grange Hermitage and you look at the label, it actually looks a lot less exciting than a $10 bottle of Cockatoo Ridge. But what is in that bottle, if you're a lover of wine, is quite exquisite. I don't think it could ever be worth $150,000, really, but it's had a value placed on it because perhaps it's getting close to perfection in the world of winemaking. But what it contains is so far and above and beyond the label on the bottle. I recently heard a message about the wise and the unwise virgins. And Jesus tells this parable. And half of them, they basically had to wait for the bridegroom to come, and they had to have oil in their lamp and have it burning. So when he came, they actually had oil in their lamp. And half of them ran out of oil because the bridegroom was delayed. And then they missed their opportunity because their lamp went out because they didn't have enough oil in the lamp. And they all had the same lamp. They all had the same opportunity. What was the difference between the wise and the unwise virgins was the oil in the lamp. And so often we focus so much on the lamp and we forget that what we really should be seeking is the oil in the lamp. You know, we can come to church and we can be concerned about the staff, the service, and there's nothing wrong with that. We've got to work on that. But, you know, the oil in the lamp is so much more important than the function or the form, if you like, of the lamp. And I want to talk tonight a little bit about the brokenness that we have. And Alex spoke this morning, and I wanted to pick up and I wanted to minister into that. The brokenness that we have sometimes in our humanity. And she talked about the fact that we are, as the Bible says in Corinthians, that we are like earthen vessels or clay pots that have these cracks in them that are not perfect, that are very ordinary. But it is actually the light of God that actually shines through those cracks that makes the difference. And the thing is, why did Paul use that analogy? You see, if it was a perfect, perfect, perfect pot, it wouldn't have a crack in it. It would be completely perfect and right. There is no way that the light could actually shine out and escape through the cracks because it would be so self-contained, it would be so self-sufficient, it would be so sealed that the light of God would not be able to shine through the cracks. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "We are like clay jars in which this treasure is stored. The real power comes from God, not from us." Another version says this. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, this is the New King James Version, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So earthen vessels were common everyday crockery. They were common in every home in the ancient world. They were not very durable compared to metal ones, so perhaps very common people couldn't afford metal crockery and pots and things, so they would have these earthen vessels. When they excavate the ancient world, they just find, you know, bucket loads of this stuff. You know, it's almost like middens of these earthen vessels, because the clay pots would just break up. They didn't last very long. They weren't very durable. And when Paul calls us clay pots, he isn't actually sort of putting us down or devaluing us. He's making a comparison between, you know, the unlimited magnificence of God's glory and light and the common vessels that he has chosen to put his light in. When you compare the two, it isn't hard to be amazed that God has put this amazing, great treasure in clay pots. All of us can feel pretty ordinary sometimes, can't we? We feel like we fall short of the perfect package. Even feel like a cracked or broken, or as Alex said this morning, a wonky jar. God's power is not limited by the size and the quality and the finish of the container. Thankfully, talked about Apple tonight, thankfully, God is not Steve Jobs, who would never let any of his highly valued Apple products go out with anything less than what he considered perfection. And I shared this morning, and I just think we need to understand this a little bit at the moment. And I feel like I share this on reasonable grounds, because Professor Rick Watts, who was with us a few weeks back here, led us amazingly at communion at our national conference a couple of weeks back on the Gold Coast. And he said this, and I hadn't thought of this before, and it says this in Genesis 1 and 2, and it says, verse 12, it says, "The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good." And if you read through that account of creation, you will see a number of times God sort of looks and reflects and he says it's good. And what Rick said was that God produced a good world. He didn't produce a perfect world. Could he have produced a perfect world? Absolutely. He's God. But you know what? The moment you get perfection, you can't do anything with it. The moment you get perfection, as soon as it changes in any way, shape, or form, you've actually detracted and taken away from that perfection. If you buy the perfect car, and it is perfect, as soon as you get it on the road, a bird's probably going to do something on it. And it moves away from that perfection. If God created you absolutely with perfection, what would that mean? It would mean he had to create all of us exactly the same. We would have had to be in these cookie cutter sort of creations, and we couldn't, there would be no room for us to go on a journey or develop or change or learn or anything else. We would just be perfection. And I think that would be pretty boring. But what God did is he created you in his image and he created you good. Tonight, you might feel like one of those cracked pots. You might feel like that broken vessel. You might feel like that wonky jar. You might feel like your life is a long way from perfection. hey, welcome to the club. But you have been created good. You have been created in the image of God. You know what the really cool thing is? God created you good, and God can take you on a journey where there is no limit to how much he will change you and how he can change you. The Bible says that he will change you from glory to glory. If he created you perfect, there will be no room, need for the journey. The world was created with amazing potential. If it was created perfect, as soon as we changed anything, it would be no longer perfect. But when God created this world, it was created with unlimited potential. Stuff that as humans we haven't even discovered yet. That, you know, I've been growing up since I've been growing up. But I remember, as a kid, I was a bit interested in cars and things like this. And I remember the thing being said, oh, you know, in 50 years, the world's going to run out of oil. And we still seem to be digging it up. But you know what? I just know that if we run out of oil, or we run out of this, or we run out of that, or whatever happens, that there is no limit to the potential and the seed that God actually placed in this creation that he's given us. And I'm not talking about being irresponsible with us. I'm not talking about having any, you know, use it and burn it type attitude. I don't mean that in any way, shape or form. I just mean that there is so much potential that we don't even understand it because God created it good. Just like you, he created you good. And no matter what you've been through, no matter what has happened to you, there is no limit to what he can do in you and through you. There is no level of brokenness that can actually discount you from what God would want to do in you and through you. There is no place you can go or could have been that actually stops him from working in you. There is just no level that you can get away from him that says, it is finished, it's enough, I can't work with this. In fact, the more broken you feel, the greater you can experience and be a recipient of the love and the grace of God. You know what? I think the bigger the cracks, the more light that can shine through. I think sometimes in the church world, we've got this absolutely unrealistic, unhealthy perception of what it would mean to be the perfect Christian or God follower. And we think we've got to have, you know, perfect house, perfect family, perfect kids, perfect finances. Jesus never said that. What did he actually say to a bunch of broken, imperfect guys that he used to change the world? Follow me. He can use you while you're broken. He can use you while he changes you. His light can shine through you no matter where you're at on the journey. You can be a recipient of his grace and his power and his love no matter what stage of the journey you're on. What's one of the enemy's greatest lies to try and inhibit us from living out our kingdom purpose? When you get your stuff together, when you get your stuff together, when you've repented, when you've been to counselling, when you've got on a good discipleship program, when you start to read your Bible every day, when you start to pray, when you stop swearing, when you stop taking drugs, when you get that drinking problem under control, When your marriage sort of gets together a little bit better. Hey, come on. None of us have a perfect marriage. None of us have perfect finances. It's not a cop-out for stuff that we need to work on, by the way. But he wants to use you powerfully where you are right now. His love, his power, and his light is just ready to shine through the cracks and the brokenness. And I just feel tonight, I had some points and things, and I've not stuck to my script very well. But I just think right now, some of us have got the wonky pot thing going on. While we were in Queensland, there was a book in one of the places we were staying, which wasn't one of the ones that we had at home, but it was called The Wonky Donkey. And I think I read it about 15 times on the trot there at one stage. She's hard to get to sleep. And some of us feel like the wonky donkey. Come on, when God looks at you tonight, he sees you as good. He didn't make you second class. He didn't make you by accident. Is that a bird up in the foliage? Hey, come on. God's light's going to shine through the cracks. He created you good. And we're going to pray right now. We're going to break through some stuff here. I think some of us are just hesitant to allow his light to shine on us. It's like we don't want to sort of get too close because we feel like we're not, mightn't quite measure up. And I just believe right now, if we would just, some of us would just let a bit of a guard down and allow the love and the grace and the light of God to shine on us, that we might get an even greater understanding of just how broken we are. But we also might get a greater understanding of just how okay that is. My friend back here with the, I guess that's turquoise t-shirt. Yeah. Sorry. I just want to encourage you right now that there's another level that God wants to take you to. I've got no idea what your journey with him's been or where or how or even where you sit before him. But I know that there's going to be some things coming up in the next season that are totally dependent on how you see yourself before God. And I believe that you have walked through things in the past and you've walked through opportunities and you have had perhaps levels of success in your life. You've had things that have worked, but you just sort of feel like perhaps you haven't. It's not all there. It's not where you're supposed to be. And I want to encourage you right now that as you just allow Jesus to shine a light into you, He's going to show you some things, and you're going to think, oh, gee, I don't know about that. But there is just going to be an acceptance and an understanding of how much he loves you, of how much he values you. And as you make some decisions in the very near future, you're going to walk into those with a renewed level of confidence. You're going to know that it's okay. And I believe that there are things that you're facing where once you would have said, gee, I'm scared. If this falls over or this fails, I couldn't face that. Where there is almost a fear of failure that is going to disappear from your world, because you are not going to be concerned by that. You're going to be knowing that your confidence is in who you are in Jesus Christ. I'm not sure where you are on that journey at all. If that makes sense, good. If it doesn't, happy to talk to you later and pray into that. But I want you just to be so encouraged. Hey, Martin, you shared with me this morning and just a little scenario that was like, oh, gee, what's in that? You know what? God is showing you that he is going to work in your life. And what you would consider limitations, what you would consider almost, gee, why do I have to carry this? God is going to use it for his glory. He is going to use the things that feel like they have held you back and separated you and kept you apart to bless people in an incredible way. And you know what? That I just want to encourage you to seek after everything that God is. He's not worried about the package. He just wants to fill you with the quality of oil, and you're going to have more than enough to give. Leone. Grant was talking tonight and he said, Leone, I bet that happened at school. It's in the stillness, Lonesy. Jesus just wants to visit you in the stillness. And sometimes, you know what, we can fear the quiet. We can fear the still, the nothingness. And he's going to visit you in that place where there is going to be a peace that he wants to bring upon your life like you've never experienced before. Michael, you're not discounted. You are not discounted. Come on. Love of God shines through the cracks. And it's going to shine more and more through the cracks. And just receive right now. Do you know what? You stand in this house, you stand in his kingdom, just the same as anybody else in Jesus Christ. He's going to use you to reach people and minister to people. You're not waiting for anything. Just do it. Jolene, the word's restoration. I believe there's a restoration of a dream. It's a restoration of things that you've carried, and some of it just seems like it's become blurry. There was a time where it was like, yeah, I see this clearly, I get it, I understand. And your heart to God hasn't changed at all, but it's like suddenly there's just some stuff around and just things in life, and it just feels like it's a bit more blurry. I just think there is a sense of clarity and vision that God wants to restore to you right now. and there's no need to wait. There's no need to think things need to line up. It's just a case of, you know, knowing that God's hand is on you. It has never left you. And what he sees for your future and your life is actually going to surprise not just other people, it's going to surprise you. I don't think you can dream too big for God. I don't think you can rationalize what God wants to do. You don't have to make stuff up. Just live with a new level of expectation. And just think there's going to be a new clarity come. Be encouraged. Also, I think he just wants me to tell you how much he loves you. I was going to pray for us all, sorry. Lord, we just take a risk on you right now. And we ask that you would just shine your light onto us. That we would not fear what we're going to see. And we would be new and fresh recipients of your grace, your love, and your acceptance. If you know right now that you need to stand. And we don't all have to do this, but it's just the people that God's speaking to right now. That we need to stand confidently and embrace our imperfections. Cracks in our clay jars, and just expect the light and the power and the love of God to shine through us in a whole new way. If that's you, just stand up right now, and we're gonna declare something. I just believe we're gonna see some breakthrough. The rest of the team want to join me up here. That would be really cool. Those amazing words, he said this, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5, he says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ is Lord. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. And if you're imperfect, you're standing right now, we can embrace it. We don't have to apologize for it. We don't have to use it as an excuse, but we just stand confidently in who we are and what we are, and just know that, you know what, God is going to work through us and in us and in spite of us. I just want to pray right now. I just think there's some breakthrough here in the house tonight. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you that when you died on the cross, that you overcame everything. That you were beaten, you were bruised, you were placed in a grave, and that grave could not contain you. That your body that was unrecognizable could not be contained in that place. And right now, as we stand in our imperfections, in our wonkiness, in our brokenness, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just come and you would anoint every person here across this place in a new and a fresh way in Jesus' name. I just ask right now that in our brokenness that we would just get an understanding, and we would actually not just think about it, but there were many here that would actually physically feel the love and the power of God that would land on us across this place right now. Lord, I pray for somebody here that is feeling discounted, that is feeling broken. Holy Spirit, that you would just touch them right where they are right now. And that they would walk away tonight with no doubt whatsoever that you love them, that you are working in them, that you haven't finished with them, that you are going to shine through their imperfections. And I just pray right now that we would just feel and we would know your love and your acceptance. We thank you that you're not about exposing us to anyone, but actually your love and your grace and your blood covers over a multitude of sins.